Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Over the past 2 years, we've seen attempts or heard of proposals to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Some of these attempts have been the result of commitments made by Republican lawmakers, and more recently from a growing field of Democratic candidates for president. In addition, a federal judge will hear a lawsuit on the legality of the ACA later this month. Here to give us a checkup on what's going on with the Affordable Care Act, the political and judicial aspects of it as well, is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, Brandon.
All right. Well, the Affordable Care Act was approved almost a decade ago at this point. Ever since then, there has been criticism. There have been attempts to either get rid of it or improve it or nip and tuck. What do we glean from all of this as we talk about this in the summer of 2019?
Some of this is predictable, Brandon. With a program as large as the Affordable Care Act, the Affordable Care Act passed without a single Republican vote in favor of the act. So I think that stays with us. And then in the ensuing time, little progress has been made in winning the hearts and minds of Republican legislators when it comes to the ACA. It's still a flashpoint, a major point of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. But I think it is also important to note that Americans are supportive of key ACA provisions, not necessarily the name or the whole act, but key
but
provisions.
Parts of it, yeah.
Exactly. So now what's important that we should talk about today is we're seeing splits within the Republican Party and splits within the Democratic Party. So it's going to be interesting and a bit nerve-wracking, I think, to see how this all plays out over the next couple of years.
Before we talk about what's going on currently, we can step back just a bit and recap some of the law's history, which has been fairly turbulent.
Yes, let's look first at judicial challenges. You mentioned there's one currently, and there have been three other challenges to the Affordable Care Act. So we certainly have that in the history. 2 summers ago, in accordance with 2016 campaign promises, the Republican-led Congress mounted 4 attempts to repeal or replace the Affordable Care Act. Although the Republicans held a large majority in the House of Representatives and a slim majority in the Senate, these efforts were thwarted.
Obviously, passing or changing legislation is tough, even in smooth political waters. Are there lessons that we can discern from the legislative failures that we saw in the summer of 2017 in dealing with or changing or dropping the ACA?
Yes, as I've reflected on this, I think that's a great question. One of the things we know is the Republicans weren't united. I mean, the Republican Party, not unusual, is split. There's very conservative, more moderate, much more liberal folks from different areas of the country, folks with different experiences around healthcare. So there's a lot of division across the Republican Party. But I think the other thing that's noteworthy, and I recently wrote about this and thought about it a lot, was the unexpected public support for the ACA in general. So key provisions and other policies that were threatened in the Republican proposals really drew people out and had this unexpected groundswell of support for things like the protections of people with pre-existing conditions or actually protecting Medicaid coverage. So we would not necessarily have predicted that coming up and this somewhat of a dichotomy between what's being proposed in Washington, D.C. and what the American public wanted.
I want to move right now to the current lawsuit. Would you tell us a little bit more about it?
Okay. The current ACA lawsuit challenges the legality of the entire Affordable Care Act. This is different than previously where they would pick out key provisions. And it's also important to note that the current lawsuit is linked to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. President Trump signed it into law just after Christmas in 2017. And what happened in this act, kind of unbeknownst to people, they didn't anticipate it, was they reduced the tax penalty for the individual mandate to zero, basically just saying we no longer have an individual mandate. So in the wake of the enactment of this law, a coalition of 20 Republican-led states filed the current lawsuit in February of 2018, and they challenged the legality, as I said, of the ACA in total. The basis of this challenge is that with the elimination of the mandate or the virtual elimination of the individual mandate, the entire ACA is invalid. So that's the premise of that lawsuit. Initially, most pundits, if you go back to read newspaper articles, columns, and that stuff during that time kind of dismissed the threat of this lawsuit. Everything changed in June of 2018, fast forward a few months, when the United States Justice Department argued that the individual mandate is unconstitutional, but it only invalidates protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions that were put in place with the Affordable Care Act. So it's noteworthy that the protections for people with pre-existing conditions were the things that we saw most strongly resonate with the American public during the summer of 2017 when we had the legal challenges.
Tennessee, we should point out, is one of the 20 states that is party to that lawsuit, so obviously we'll be keeping an eye on it as it works its way through the federal court system this summer and afterward. To jump to the point you made last, though, it sounds pretty uncommon that the U.S. Justice Department would come out in opposition to a current law. Is that my imagination?
No, you're right on there. This approach, though, Brandon, is not a big surprise. It's consistent with other anti-ACA activities since the inauguration of President Trump. And some of these activities escalated after the legislative failures to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. So it's unusual, but not unexpected.
Well, President Trump, of course, will be running for re-election in 2020. He'll face a crowded Democratic field. What can we expect as things continue to build into this crescendo of the 2020 presidential campaign?
Yeah, let's walk through that. I think it's safe to say all indications are that healthcare reform remains a priority topic on the minds of both lawmakers and the American public. So we saw that. We already know that from the 2018 midterm elections, Brandon. The Democratic candidates, that very large field, now over 20, I think, are united in their desire for universal coverage. I haven't seen anyone among those candidates dissent from that desire, but not how we achieve universal coverage. So we're starting to see some separation among the Democratic candidates. And stay tuned as things shake out among the large field of candidates and, you know, what we hear in the debates. Republicans are another story. Most Republicans are a little reluctant to tackle the ACA again, particularly in light of their failed attempts in 2017 and then the results that they saw at the ballot box with the midterm elections in 2018. But despite this reluctance on the part of Republican leadership and many of the Republican legislators, President Trump has been saying he's going to be introducing a big new plan very soon. I don't know exactly when that will be, but that dynamic of reticence and then someone wanting to jump into that field is very interesting.
Especially heading into an election year, it's not unusual for politicians sometimes to avoid tackling some third rail issues so as not to alienate voters. It sounds like they may not have a choice going into 2020 because people want answers about health care.
Yeah, that's why I say, I mean, it's going to be interesting, better than any reality TV you've ever seen.
There you go. We'll have to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, what do you want to say to listeners about all of this? So we talked about the lawsuit. We're talking about some of the legislative or executive choices that may or may not be made over the next year or so. What should listeners take away from this?
My thoughts are stay tuned. Follow these discussions closely. They matter. Healthcare is a priority topic. It affects all of us. Be informed. Don't just take what you hear, but read, do some investigation. Always check your sources. I think it's important for people to talk with their elected representatives and tell them your story. Tell them what healthcare means to you. Stories resonate because they humanize the topics that are being discussed within the Beltway. Let them know what's important to you. And then develop a relationship with your legislators. It's not just a matter, Brandon, of going to them when you need something or you want to complain. You should have an ongoing relationship. Get to know each other, develop trust, develop some information exchange so that you're part of the process that's going to determine your future.
Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, thanks for joining us on this week's edition of Health Connections.
My pleasure as always, Brandon. Thank you so much.